There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the darkness on the edge of town. This is your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, as always, my co-producer and co-host of the show, Tim Dennis. This evening, we've got a great show lined up for you. I do want to mention, though, we just locked in a really fascinating guest list that we're going to have coming up for the first week in May. You're going to want to make sure to jot this down in your books, put it on the calendar, and remember to join us for May 7th. First part of the show, we have got the amazing Randy. James Randy is a world-renowned magician. He's also one of the most popular skeptics of the paranormal and investigations. He's been able to disprove quite a bit. He has a $1 million challenge out there for anybody that can actually prove proof of the paranormal or proof of psychic ability. So far, nobody's been able to actually claim this $1 million prize. So James Randy's going to be on with us to discuss the challenge, discuss the prize, discuss what's been going on, and help give us a little bit of insight more on the scientific value of paranormal activity and investigations. The second part of the show, then, we will be joined by Lou Gentile, who is a radio show host of a paranormal radio show. You can check him out at LouGentile.com. That's spelled G-E-N-T-I-L-E. That's LouGentile.com. His website is up. He's got a radio show that you can listen to every night of the week and covers all different aspects of the paranormal and strange topics. But Lou is one of the people taking on the $1 million challenge from James Randy. So he'll be on hand to answer questions for us about his abilities to collect EVPs. That's electronic voice phenomena. We'll be able to contrast and compare the notes between the skeptic of James Randy and the believer with Lou Gentile to see exactly what we can come up with. Then for the second hour of the show, we're going to be joined by the newest member, one of the newest members of the Ghost Hunters team, and from the sci-fi channel Ghost Hunters TV show, you'll recognize him as Dustin Perry. He'll be joining us. Should be a really exciting show. That's May 7th, so make sure you tune in. This evening, though, we're chock-a-block full of great guests. Our first guest, who we actually have on the line with us, is, now, I apologize, it's Gabrielle, not Gabriel, right?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, Gabrielle Zevin. And Gabrielle is the author of a really phenomenal book called Elsewhere. This is a really interesting book for people that are interested in the paranormal, kind of in the afterlife. It is not a true account. It's a novel, but it's done in a really, I think, a really interesting, neat kind of way. That's why I wanted to have Gabrielle.
Either way.
I had a girlfriend in high school named Gabrielle, and everybody called her Gabe, so we just got confused easily. But with the book, this is pretty fascinating. Now, this is written actually more for, like, the kind of the teenage market. Is that correct?
I would say so, although I didn't think about it so much at the time. It seems like if you have a girl and she's the main character in your novel, then it's a teenage novel. So.
Okay, right. Yeah, I know. I've read the book when they sent me out a copy, and I've had other people that I know check out the book, tell me what their thoughts and perceptions of it were, too, to just see if it was as enjoyable for people that aren't as involved in the paranormal like I am.
Right.
And it's a really neat book. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the book, and we'll start you off that way. And I apologize. I had all my notes and everything down for the show this evening, so I could tell them what a great person you are and all the fascinating things you do, and unfortunately our computers junked out on us about 2 minutes before showtime here, so
that's
I'm not
right.
able to have anything to read. But if you could tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about the book, that'd be fantastic.
Well, I guess I'll start with telling you a little bit about the book. And basically it's about a girl who is killed in a hit and run accident, and she finds herself, just she wakes up on a boat in the middle of the ocean. She's not sure sort of where she is, but she ends up in a land called Elsewhere, the titular Elsewhere. And it's a place where people age backwards instead of forwards from the point that they died. And then when they're basically a week old, then they go back to Earth and start again in a big circle. So, and as for me, I'm a novelist from New York, and I guess that's about it.
Well, it said you're a screenwriter. You do all types of different things. Is that
correct? I'm a writer from New York. How about that?
Okay,
we'll
that
make
works.
The term broader.
A writer from New York.
Exactly.
Now, where did you come up? I mean, that's a really fascinating take on it, that you die and then you technically go to like an elsewhere, for any lack of a better word, where you will actually live. It's almost like life here on Earth again, but you age backwards.
It is.
And then you're reborn. I mean, where did you come up with the theory of that? Or you know, what really inspired you to come up with that philosophy?
You know, it's funny because I don't really have a wonderful answer to that question. But I think whenever you sit down to write a book, there's about a million reasons you write it at any given point. But I think that for me, it was probably living in New York City during September 11th and sort of seeing things be so dark at a certain point and, you know, thinking that the only way out of it was to sort of maybe write my way out of what felt like a fairly depressing state.
Sure.
You know, and so I would say it was probably that. And, you know, there were other things, too. It was my dog had a lump, and I've never been a person to fixate much on the afterlife. My dad is Jewish, my mom is Catholic, and both of them are kind of agnostic now. And,
holy crap, you were guilted from birth, weren't you?
Or not guilted, actually.
That's true.
You know? I think it gave me a remarkably unique ability to not invest too much in conventional religion in any sort of way. So I think I just felt that I wanted to write something that would help me explain. I think every book that anybody writes, no matter whether it's about the afterlife or this life or whatever, is we're basically answering the question, how do I live in this world? You know? And for me, thinking about the afterlife, talking about the afterlife, was a way to talk about how to live in this life, you know? So if that makes any sense. That's the long answer, or the roundabout
totally,
answer.
Right. And I enjoyed that part of the book itself, because it does help you to focus on, you know, how to live the life that you have now.
I think we always presume that we'll be so dissimilar, you know, wherever,
right.
If there is something after, and I have no idea, you know, and I don't have any sort of belief in what is sort of written in the book in that sense. But if there is something after, I don't think we should maybe presume that it will be as crazily terrible, spooky, dissimilar, dark, horrible. You know, it may be very, very similar. We may not even know. We may be there now. Do you know?
So. Oh, definitely. You know, I've had that thought a couple of times. I think there's a good chance I'm already in hell.
Exactly.
But but I'm here to entertain and let everybody listen to
hopefully,
our radio.
Hopefully, that's what I'm here to do too. You know.
Do you have any beliefs or experiences in the paranormal yourself, or was this just kind of a?
You know, I really don't. I always, as a kid, I was very interested in ghosts and sort of, I guess, in things paranormal and things supernatural. But I don't have any sort of religious or spiritual belief, per se. I think I'm interested in the stories we tell each other about the next life more than anything, do you know? Or the stories
sure.
that we share to make sense of these things, do you know?
Oh, definitely. Now, people can get this book at just about anywhere, right? Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Okay. All right. Now, we do have, I think, 3 or 4 signed copies of the book. So if you do have an interest in getting a copy of the book signed by the author, we do have them on hand. You can give us a call, and we'll do it for the first 3 callers that call in and request the book. We'll give it out to them, a signed copy of Elsewhere. For those of you that want more information about Elsewhere, there's actually a website, isn't there, as well? You can go to and click on to learn a little bit more about the book?
Yeah, I think my publisher has set up a website, which is fsgkidsbook.com and then /elsewhere. So.
Great, okay. And then for the people that would like to get a copy of this book, just give us a call at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. It's a fantastic book. It's really fascinating. It's got some fun views of death. Fun views of death. How does that sound? But I think it's entertaining because there was, you know, you deal with suicide, with accidental death, with drug overdose type of deaths. I mean, there's all types of different death that is involved in this book, and how these people all come together and get to know one another and understand where they're on a journey to go to, first of all, when they're on the cruise ship that they're on in the beginning of the book,
right.
And then leading them to the land outside there, where they get to actually age back. And what's really, I thought was fascinating too, is that you get to see the spirits of your loved ones. But grandma may have died at the age of 60, and that was 30 years ago. Now she looks like she's 30.
Right.
which you know, actually really makes sense, too, for people that are involved in the paranormal and investigations. They always claim to see the spirits of their loved ones, but they always appear to them in a younger look.
That's true. And I actually was sort of interested in, I think, more maybe a physics sort of standpoint in thinking of the book, you know, nothing being lost or gained, and the fact that it doesn't matter whether time is moving forward or time is moving backwards, you know. But that, in fact, if time starts moving backwards in some parallel universe, it will be very problematic for human relationships,
yeah.
You know. And I think, actually, that's kind of the seed of where I started, was just thinking about a sort of love story where somebody moves on to the next life and, you know, he's left somebody, you know, you can fall in love in two different places, you know, but it became sort of a different thing by the time I was done.
I'm looking forward to it, and I was really hoping that that is the way it's going to go, because Tim and I are really looking forward to having hair again.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any other books that are going to be coming out here?
Well, I wrote a book for adults called Margaret Town, which came out last year, and it's just coming out in paperback, and that's about, it's about a woman, well, it's again sort of about storytelling, but really it's about the many women that a woman is in one place, and a man goes to a place called Margaret Town, where he meets the love of his life at all different ages at once. So,
oh, that sounds great, and that's already out there as well.
It is. It's out there in the world.
Okay, and the full name of the book again is
Margaret Town.
Margaret Town,
one
just
word,
like it
though.
Sounds.
Exactly.
Okay, and the and the author on it is Gabrielle Zevin, and that's spelled Z-E-V-I-N. Do you have a website as well, and information for people to look you up? And
I don't. I'm remarkably web free at this point in my life.
Congratulations.
I know.
I'm jealous of you. Actually, I wish I could be web free. Well, yeah, this is a great book. I recommend it to anybody that is interested, and especially if you have, you know, kids that are interested in the paranormal and interested in life after death. I think this is a really great book for, you know, kids to take a look at and read as well, because it's written so nicely, cleanly, concisely. There's no real terrifying points to the book. You know, without, I'm trying to give away too much of the book as well, but I think that people really enjoy the flow of the book. The storytelling is really unique, and the views and theory of death and what happens afterwards I've never heard a theory like this before, so I thought that was really fascinating. That's why we wanted to have you on the show.
Well, there's always been people that wrote backwards aging sorts of books. Yeah, there's
right.
Like the short story Curious Case of Benjamin Button by Fitzgerald, and Martin Amis's book, and a bunch of books like this at various points in time that people always seem to be a little bit interested in what happens backwards. But I think, you know, for me, it was really thinking less about maybe the next life, but about aging in this life. And, you know, it just, at a certain point, it just seems like, you know, it's just a march toward death in our culture, you know?
Definitely.
And I think that's a horrible way to see things. You know,
yeah,
I like
from the minute we're born, all we're doing is dying slowly. I understand that.
You know, and though it may be true, you know,
right.
The point is that there are probably more useful ways to look at that. And our culture, especially America, we're particularly bad about how we treat old people, and for that matter, how we treat babies, you know? At both ends, we infantilize the babies. Of course, they are infants, though. But
yes.
But we also, you know,
trust me, I've tried to get my one-year-old daughter to get out and start, you know, making her way in the world, and she just refuses to
exactly.
Do it.
Exactly. Go earn already,
that's
one-year-old.
Right.
Get a job.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on with us, and thank you very much for the signed copies of the book.
Thank you.
And again, this book can be picked up at any bookstore. You can also get it at Amazon.com. You can get it at BarnesandNoble.com. So check it out. The name of the book is Elsewhere, and it's written by Gabrielle Zevin. I'm going to get that right as well. Gabrielle Zevin, and that's Z-E-V-I-N. Can't thank you enough for joining us this evening, and we hope to have you back in the future. And, you know, if you've got a copy of your newer book that you'd like to send out to us, keep us in the loop. Let us know about other cool books that you come up with. I'm sure there'd
will.
Be people that would be really interested in reading more about you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Have
Bye.
A great one. Bye-bye. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. And we've got a great show coming up for you. We've got the guys from Ghostly Talk on the line. They're going to be joining us right after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
This is Dave Schrader from the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Each week, we delve into the web of the unknown and deal with a lot of scary subjects. But nothing makes my blood run colder or scares me more than dealing with technology. That's why we turned to the experts when we wanted our website for the show set up and maintained. In the studio with me is Don Raleigh, owner of Evolve Systems. Don and his exceptional staff were easy to work with and made setting up our site a breeze. Don, what is it that sets you apart from other web developers?
Well, Dave, we make your business visions come to life by creating, maintaining, and hosting all of your internet needs. We do this by listening to our clients. We offer programs and price plans to fit any budget. And Dave, I mean any budget. Call us at 651-628-4000 and put us to work for you.
Call Don at Evolve Systems, 651-628-4000. I did, and I couldn't be happier with the results.
That's because we take the ugh out of technology, Dave. Call us today at 651-628-4000 or visit us on the web at www.evolve-systems.com. Serving the entire United States. That's Evolve Systems, helping you to manage change. Cheers.
If you read Capstar Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Capstar Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Two ghosts walk into a bar and see another ghost at the bar point at them and yell, boo. One of the ghosts yells back, boo-hoo. And the ghost at the bar yells back, well, you don't have to cry about it. Ah, hell, you try writing this.
You magnificent bastard. I salute you.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. This is Dave Schrader, your host, along with me, my co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. We've got a great show lined up for you this evening. As you just heard, we had Gabrielle Zevin, who is the author of a book called Elsewhere. We do have one copy of the book left. It is autographed by the author. If you're interested in it, you can just give us a call at 612-375-1400. The second hour of the show, we've got two really great guys. We've got Rich Oliver and Matt Groen that are going to be with us. They're going to talk to us about their experiences with the paranormal and with the Skinwalker Ranch. But right now, we're going to go to the guys from Ghostly Talk. We've got Scott, L, Doug, and Will. Are all three of you with us this evening?
Yeah, we think so.
Great.
We definitely are. Hi, how you doing?
Hey, great. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Can you hear us okay over there?
I can hear you perfectly.
No, I can't.
Oh, thank God.
I'm kidding.
Unfortunately, guys, you know, I had it all nice little text up bios on all three of you and everything all set, and our computers junked out on us this evening, so I got nothing. So as far as...
equipment failure.
You are only known...
we're used to it.
You are only known as the Ghostly Talk Gurus, so welcome you to the show. For people interested, Ghostly Talk is another paranormal radio show, and they go so much farther beyond. They are on as well on Sunday nights, and you can check them out by going to ghostlytalk.com. Correct, guys?
Yes.
Ghostly Talk. Okay, I just want to make sure I get the show. I wanted to throw Ghostly Talk show in there, and I knew that was on, but it's ghostlytalk.com.
Yep.
Now, the three of you, I know from reading your bios, all three of you basically kind of got involved or interested in the paranormal by reading about it when you were kids, and I think a couple of you kind of started searching each other out on the internet and kind of found this little bond and put together the paranormal radio show. You've been on the air now since when, 2002?
February of 2002, officially.
Okay, all right, and you've been covering all aspects of it. What got you guys into the paranormal?
Who wants to start?
can I start?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay, hey, Dave, I'm Doug.
Hi, Doug.
It started for me when I was in elementary school, and we had this unit where you had to go down to the library, which was a very small library, and you had to learn how to check out a book.
Ooh.
So I checked out a...
did you have to ride that special short bus to school, Doug? Today, children, we're going to learn how to check out a book.
This was required.
I learned to do a Deb Zemo system, too.
So, that was my... that was how I got started in the paranormal, because the first book I ever checked out, I looked at all these books, and, of course, it was amazing. Amazing at the time, you know. I'm like, wow, look at all these books. Of course, it was a tiny little library. It was just in one room that used to be like a classroom. But they had a book on witchcraft.
Okay.
And believe it or not, elementary school, of course, I'm fairly on the old side. I'm sure it's not very PC now for an elementary school library to have a book on witchcraft.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, hey, you know, we didn't burn books or anything back then. So it was there, and I checked it out. It was my introduction to anything, you know, outside the mainstream. It was the very first book I ever checked out of a library.
Very cool.
Cool. And then let me just follow up here real quick. So then you got involved by reading the book. Did you keep reading after that, or did you just kind of let it fall aside after a while, and then as you got older, you started thinking about getting into the paranormal again?
Well, then, of course, you know, there was always, you know, Halloween, and there was, you know, the normal Americana kind of things. And then in junior high, I started reading even better books because they had a bigger library. And by then, I had a library card for the city library. So in junior high, I started reading all kinds of stuff, you know, Jane Roberts on Seth and all kinds of stuff. That's when my other interest in sci-fi fantasy also developed, and I was reading tons of Robert Heinlein and stuff like that, but I was checking out like One and One. It was paranormal something and sci-fi fantasy something else, and that's what I was doing all through junior high. Then it did fall to the wayside through high school and college, and
you buckled down, got a little bit more serious. You were more into like Dungeons and Dragons at that point, or what?
No. I
put the book down so I could hold my double-handed sword that did +12 damage.
I rolled my 48-sided die. No, I don't get into that kind of thing. I do, although I know a lot of people who do, but I did. I never got into that. I did actually get into computers because I'm a nerd.
Doug, don't be so hard on yourself, buddy.
Come on. We are, so it's okay. We're as hard as we can on you.
I just admitted up front so that you don't have to deduce it.
Because we were sitting here scratching our chins wondering. We weren't sure. But so now you
looks like a nerd.
Smells like a nerd.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know.
No. So that just kind of... No. So I got to know, though, you checked out a book on witchcraft. Did you try any of the spells?
It was more generic than that. I don't think they actually had... It wasn't like the Necronomicon or anything. But, yeah. But it was more generic. It was like an introduction kind of thing. And they didn't have actual spells as far as I remember.
It was just more like the history of witchcraft?
Yeah, it was more of a reference-y kind of thing, like introduction, like scholastic-y kind of stuff. And it was interesting, and that's what started. I'm like, wow, people talk about this stuff or write about this stuff anyway. And it was good. It opened my mind to things outside of the norm, and that was the beginning for me. So I appreciated that book. I wonder if they've sold it by now or if I could go back and get it. But yeah, it was interesting, and I'm glad that it was there.
Okay, and then Scott, let's hear a little bit about your background with the paranormal.
Oh man, I always tell people the first introduction I had into the paranormal was a book I bought at a garage sale when I was like just a kid, like maybe 9 or 10 years old, and it was actually it's more of a scholastic type book like Doug was talking about. It's a book called Haunted Houses by an author named Larry Kettlecamp. And this guy wrote books like, you know, Haunted Houses and then The Better Homes Guide to Cooking. This guy was a very, like, wide-based writer. It wasn't like, this he wasn't like a real groundbreaking, like, paranormal writer.
Haunted Homes and Gardening was the next one.
This book was awesome, though, because it told some really cool stories, like Tower of London, stuff like that. And it also got into a little bit of theory, which was, you know, it's like about 80 pages long, and it's like 14-point type text on each week. So it's a pretty easy book to get through in a couple of minutes. But it really gave me a good foundation of what I was about to get into in my, you know, when I got older. Like Doug, myself, I got busy with school and stuff like that, and then after high school, going into college, and then playing music for, you know, a number of years also. When I got out of college, it's when I had time to pursue this field. So I got into studying the paranormal and ghost hunting and stuff like that pretty intensively, and that's where I met Doug through, I don't know what the hell, what's the thing? It was some board we were all on.
It was one of those Yahoo groups.
Yeah, Yahoo group.
It was a Yahoo group, yeah.
Yeah, let's pimp the big Y again. But yeah,
oh, believe me, there's so many groups out now, they've already, you know, done their damage.
But we ended up corresponding on there, and then we ended up doing some work together initially, and then Doug came to me with the idea about putting together a talk show about the paranormal. Imagine that.
It'll never work.
Hour. Yeah, it would never work. It was just, you know,
that's
kind of the idea. We didn't go into a negative like that. We're like, we'll just try and see how this thing is going to work out. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. And like, you know, next thing you know, we're like, you know, doing this stuff now.
That's great.
But
No, go ahead.
That's basically, mine's it's not a very exciting story like Doug's is. There's not too much adventure involved in it. I never did the D&D thing. I beat up kids like that back in the day. So,
run for your life, Doug.
All right, and that leaves us with...
I've got my shield on.
That leaves
how
us
many
with
hit
Will,
points
right?
can you take?
I said plus 10.
Excellent.
I'm good.
And how about you, Will? What can you tell us about yourself?
I've had a fairly paranormal-rich childhood.
Thanks. Let's move on. Just kidding. Just messing with you. Go on.
I had a couple of ghost experiences as a child, some UFO experiences as a child, and the interest for me just continued on. As soon as I got out of high school, I started doing ghost investigations with friends, and as some of those friends started getting girlfriends and married and kids. And
what jerks.
Everything else, it was just me. So I decided to start looking on the internet for other people that did this, and I found a plethora of it, and that's how I started hanging out with Doug and Scott. And I went on a trip to Chicago with some other people, and I came back, and they're like, well, why don't you come on the show and talk about your experience? And that was back on September 1st, 2002, and I never left.
Mm-hmm. Wait, the paranormal show wanted you to talk about their experience in Chicago?
Well, yeah. That was initially how we brought
Will. Well,
first
I went to Wrigley Field and had a double dog. And
No, they had gone to check out...
Badgers Grove Cemetery.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and,
yeah that's one of the hot spots.
Resurrection sure. Cemetery. And we just kind of bounced around Chicago for an evening. And it was a very interesting trip with the van and all that stuff.
So I got to know then, Will, did you get permission or were you sneaking around in Bachelor Grove? I grew up in that area.
Actually, we did not have permission. We went in and... They were probably like...
Tim, get the authorities on the phone.
Show those guys what's up.
There were probably about 30 people in the cemetery at this point. It was just after dark. And a officer came over a loudspeaker and said, everybody out or you're getting tickets.
Wow.
So we...
To the Cubs game.
Yes.
So we got out and we went out and one of our guys realized he had left his $50 camera battery in the cemetery.
Ooh.
So him and another guy went back in to look for it. And we're all standing in the parking lot at the park across the street with a couple from New York, and the guy comes up and says, well, why are you guys still here? And they were like, well, they went back in looking for the camera battery. They'll be back out in a minute. Well, they came back out, and the guy came through again, and we were talking to him. He's like, well, I'll let you guys go back in there for, I'll give you guys about a half hour, 45 minutes, and then you guys got to go. So we actually got permission to go back in.
Oh, great. Did you find anything cool while you were out there? Any EVPs, any pictures?
We got a couple of decent pictures. The first picture that was taken the second we walked into Bachelor's Grove actually was a missed photo, and nobody was smoking. So, but that's definitely a creepy cemetery. That pond up front just adds to the ambiance of the area. So,
did you get any pictures, or did anybody there relate the story to you of the actual ghost house that appears in some of the photographs?
Yeah, I've never actually seen a picture of it, but I did hear the legend before I went.
Yeah, I've heard the legend, too, forever, and I've never actually seen anybody that's been able to present a picture of this. And for those of you listening, sometimes they'll take a picture, and it's just a cemetery area, but sometimes there'll be a picture of a house. It's almost like the Bates house from Psycho that appears in the picture in a misty form, and it's sometimes in different locations in the cemetery. So it's kind of a strange little deal, but yeah, if anybody out there is listening has actually taken a picture that has produced that image, please email it over to me at dave@darknessradio.com, and I'll share it with the guys over at Ghostly Talk so we can all take a look at it as well. But yeah, that's really interesting to me because I grew up in the Chicagoland area. So, of course, you know, checking out Bachelor's Grove and Resurrection Cemetery, where the famed Resurrection Mary, the hitchhiking ghost, hangs out. And just Resurrection Cemetery itself is a creepy place. You know, did you hear the stories about the lights going on and off inside the mausoleums at night?
We were only there during the day, unfortunately.
Okay.
But one of the weird things that happened while we were there is we were just driving through and these deer came out of nowhere and came right up to the vehicle, and we stopped, and the deer were actually putting their heads in the vehicle, and we could actually pet them. And it was mouthing. We were like asking it questions, just messing around, and it was like mouthing answers back to us, but of course we couldn't hear anything.
Okay, you said there was no smoking going on at Bachelor's Grove. What were you smoking at Resurrection?
Where were you immediately previous to that?
we had walked around the cemetery for
so you weren't, like, there weren't the initials B-A-R weren't on the...
No.
Okay. All right.
Little did you know there is a petting zoo there at the cemetery. So we just happened to run into it.
Or it walked up to them, actually.
We actually had to wait a little while to leave the cemetery because the deer were right there with us. Wow. And we were sitting in the car.
Well, that's crazy. I've never even heard about deer in the Resurrection Cemetery. Wow.
Yeah, it was a very bizarre experience. So I've never seen deer do that.
Now, you do more of the engineering and running the boards for the guys. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, but the three of you, have you gone out and actually done investigations together?
Oh, a whole bunch.
I know that you guys have done a couple live remotes, haven't you, with the show?
Yeah, a few things here and there. We're starting to do a little bit more of that stuff nowadays. That, you know, with the technology the way it is now, it's a little easier to do things in that manner.
Hail Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Yeah. We have done a couple of those. We do go out on a lot of investigations with time permitting and stuff like that. The show takes up a lot of our time nowadays, it seems.
Sure.
But when we do get the time, we like to take our road trips and whatnot. I usually try to get out for what we've been doing like the last couple of years. We did like the week-long trip in 2004, didn't we, Doug? That was the longest trip
ever. Yeah.
I didn't want to see either of you after that trip for about a week.
And we did a few trips last in 2005 also to the Mothman Festival is our usual thing we go to. Okay. We like going to the Mothman Festival.
Yeah, we talk about ghosts all the time. Yeah, we go to the Mothman Festival.
Well, it's part of the paranormal. Yeah. That's definitely out there. Well, since you guys have the equipment, we should do a double show together, and I'll go out to Vegas to one of the haunted brothels.
Hey, yeah.
Oh, I like that idea.
I mean, we might have to spend a night or two there just to make sure we can see some kind of activity.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there'll be some kind of activity.
I'm leaving it alone, man. I'm holed up. My girlfriend's in the other room over here, and I just don't want her to even get to hear anything like that.
Oh, no. It'll be completely scientific, I promise. And we'll hardly ever drink while we're out there. Now, rule number one. What's the weirdest experience you guys have had, besides the talking deer? What's the weirdest experience the three of you guys have had out
that's
and about?
That's Will talking. I don't know what. That's the first I've heard about that, to be honest with you.
Scariest or weirdest experience you guys have had at an investigation?
Oh, God. There's so many. I think it's hard to pinpoint.
All three of us were there, or just two of us?
Whatever you want to work on, that's fine.
I think all three of us were at my weirdest one. And I was even just talking about that earlier on Ghostly Talk.
Sally House was pretty interesting.
Well, yeah. That was phenomenal. We made a trip out to the Sally House.
Yeah, it's in Kansas.
Okay. What's the background on that?
Will, you're the historian.
I can explain a little. And there was actually a sightings episode based on...
A series of episodes
is what it turned into. And they had gone out to visit this supposed haunted house. And while they were there, they filmed scratches appearing on this fellow's stomach.
Yeah, stomach, yeah.
And they're like, okay, this has got to be haunted. So they kept coming back, and they ended up making a movie of this series of events. And now this is just like I'm sure everyone's familiar with the old sightings TV show.
Right.
Unless you're too young. It just developed over time, and they just kept going back. And this girl, what was it, a little girl, was supposed to have passed away.
She had appendicitis, and when the doctor went to operate on her in this house, the anesthetic didn't take hold, and she came back while he was cutting her open. And she ended up, screaming and trying to get away, and she ended up dying during the procedure. Apparently she hates men due to her waking up to, this man cutting her up.
Women, they just never know when to let go of a grudge.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just kidding, ladies.
And of course it was definitely traumatic for her, so everybody has been assuming that she is haunting this house. The sightings thing ended up becoming a movie called, Sightings Heartland Ghost.
Yes.
And I actually went up to the local video store and rented it before I went out there. And the guy says, why do you want to see this? Because I asked specifically for it. And I said, oh, well, I'm going there. Ever since then, he's looked at me with a newfound either respect or dread. I don't know.
Maybe a little bit of both, huh?
Yeah.
So what was your experience when you guys went to that?
Well, it was actually funny because it was like the first 5 minutes we were there, which, you know, kind of set the whole mood for the rest of the weekend we spent there at the Sally House. We got into the airport, met up with one of our other associates, Sean Burris from the Indiana Ghost Trackers, and we drove out the Sally House from the Indianapolis airport?
No, Kansas City.
It's been a long day, man.
Same thing.
The Kansas City airport. It's about an hour away. And we shot out there, walked in, started loading the stuff, our gear that we had in there, and we just decided to do like a little walk around the house just to get a feel for what was going on. We walked upstairs, you know, the way I tell people, we walked in the living room, you walk in the front door and the living room's to the right and then the stairway's to the left. We saw a ladder and then a beat up old radio, and it looked like there were some paint buckets. So it looked like somebody was doing some work in the house, obviously.
We did have permission to be there.
We did.
Yeah, we just didn't walk. We just didn't crash this house for the weekend. The owner knew we were going to be there and gave us keys and all that fun stuff. But we went upstairs. We looked around the first floor for a couple seconds. We decided to go upstairs and look at the separate bedrooms. And we were all just kind of talking about, there was four of us there, the three of us, and
I wasn't there yet.
No, you weren't there yet. There was four of us. There was myself, Will, our one of our other help, Bonnie, our support. Can I say that word?
Person.
Our support person was with us, and then Sean from the Indiana Ghost Trackers. We were walking around the rooms on the upper level of the house, and we heard music for no reason. So I think Will said, "Hey, do you hear music?" And we were just like, "Yeah." We all stopped and listened. So we came downstairs and found that the radio was turned on, and there was, what was the name of the song?
Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond was being played. We tried every experiment with this radio, short of throwing it upside a wall, to try to reproduce what happened, because there was no one else in the house. All the doors were locked besides the front door, and we were right by, you could see right to the front door. If someone else would have walked in, we heard no one come in the house, though.
It had one of those switches where it goes from tape when it's off to AM to FM.
Yeah, this was the standard boom box that we used to know. We used to know and love back in the 80s.
When I was at the top of the stairs, I heard it go click, click, and then I heard music. So whatever it was not by the front door, because the front door was closed. I was looking right at it. And yeah, it was one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had.
And that was within the first couple of minutes we were in the place. And we just, to this day, we really can't explain, you know, what or who turned the radio on. But it was definitely a mood-setting event for the rest of the weekend at the Sally House.
Oh, that's a great story. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Our guests this evening are the guys from Ghostly Talk radio show. You can look up more information about them and about their show by going to ghostlytalk.com. They've got a fantastic radio show. This evening we've got Will, Doug, and Scott L. with us. We'll be back more with the guys right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I gotta pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
Tri-Minnesota Mortgage was founded on one simple principle, to be your complete mortgage resource. Keith Troutman and the experts at Tri-Minnesota Mortgage will assist you with all your needs. They've built a reputation for client satisfaction and are devoted to making the mortgage process as easy as possible. You get to work with a broker that understands your needs. Finding the right loan is only the beginning. Tri-Minnesota Mortgage will assist you every step of the way to ensure smooth sailing with personal one-on-one help. I'm Dave Schrader, the host of Darkness on the Edge of Town. When I bought my new home, I turned to Keith Troutman to help me. He made what could have been a very stressful time easy and painless. He was considerate and realizes that this is more than just a job to him. It's the future for you. I recommend them to my friends, and I'm happy to recommend them to you. To take the first step to a financially free tomorrow, call 952-223-5000 or visit them on the web at cruiseatclose.com. For a fresh start, no matter what your current situation, call Keith at Tri-Minnesota Mortgage. That's 952-223-5000. As Keith says, it's your money. Keep more of it. That's Tri-Minnesota Mortgage, 952-223-5000.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
I could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Ghosts, goblins, witches, creatures of the night. Yep, that just about covers everybody Dave and Tim have ever dated.
Oh my God, this girl's really turning me on.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Thank you for joining us again this evening. This is Dave Schrader, along with me, co-host and producer Tim Dennis. On the line with us this evening, we have the guys from Ghostly Talk Paranormal Radio Show. We've got Doug, Will, and Scott L. hanging on the line with us. They were just telling us about one of their experiences out on a ghost hunt that they did. Now, do you guys do any investigations at all of UFO sightings, Bigfoot places, things like that?
That stuff comes and goes. It's stuff that we just kind of fall into. I know Doug is not, well, Doug, this is all you. What am I talking about? That's all you, man.
I ask everybody, can we go on a Bigfoot hunt kind of thing? The only one I ever actually went on would be, I went to Bragg Road, about an hour and a half or so outside of Houston, Texas. And only stayed about 2 hours or so and ended up talking to a Hardin County sheriff. but not seeing an actual Bigfoot. So, no, I would like to go on a Bigfoot hunt kind of thing. The UFO thing, I've never actually been on. We've been out in very remote places. Mm-hmm. Because, well, my favorite kind of haunting is the public haunt, like haunted railroad tracks or haunted bridge or haunted, you know, anything outside or accessible to anybody who happens to wander by. Okay. And so a public haunting kind of thing is my favorite kind. So needless to say, there's nights when we're out in the middle of nowhere
where you'd expect to be abducted by aliens.
And quite often I will be known to say, well, if we don't see a ghost, we may get abducted by aliens, because this is very, very remote. Mm. So, but I've never been on an actual, like, we're going out to look for UFOs kind of thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like to invite you guys along with us. We are putting together for our listeners, we're going to be going on a couple of trips this year, and one of the trips we're going to go to is out to investigate a ranch that's out in Washington. We had the gentleman on a few weeks back, James Gilliland, who was on with E-SETI, and has UFO activity all the time. As a matter of fact, on the show, he promised us that if it's clear out, there's about a 90% chance that you're going to see some UFO activity. He also has quite a bit of ghost and paranormal activity that occurs there as well. So we're going to take a couple of our listeners out there and do a live remote from there. But, you know, it'd be great to buddy up with you guys and have you come out and do your show from there as well.
We should check that out.
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Because UFOs have always intrigued me. Ghost stuff, I'm still getting into as much, but UFOs, you know, I'd love to see what's going on out there, and to a place where the guy claims that if you come out there, there's a 90% chance you're going to see something. That's pretty good. And he's actually had scientists and NASA guys and military come out there and will agree that yes, there's definitely something going on this guy's property. So it should be an interesting place to check out.
Either that or he's got the best weed in Washington.
Yes. You on the way, I'm there.
Yeah. So if you, so if you tune into our radio shows and you hear a lot of which one of you guys farted? You'll know that it's the latter and not so much the UFOs that we're seeing.
Dude, UFOs dig Frito.
Yeah, UFOs are something that really fascinate me a lot, and it's something it's with time allowing, I'm going to probably, you know, get more into it down the road. It's just a matter of time right now. I have videotape upon videotape of sightings and, you know, all the sightings type stuff, DVDs, books stacked up around here too.
I think even our most frequent returning guest is UFO related, isn't it? Is Heidi
Hollis? Yeah, she's done a lot of work with, well, a lot of, she's had a lot of experiences with UFOs. She studies so much different stuff though.
Well, that's true,
scale.
But
That's the thing I think we all like to study, is how all these things are related together, like the UFO occurrences, paranormal type ghost occurrences, even ancient mysteries and things like that.
You know what bugs me about UFOs? This is what bugs me, and
Those darn aliens are big eyes.
Hey, suddenly he's turning into Seinfeld. Did you ever notice with a UFO?
I just want to give him a big hug. I think
we have a local MUFON chapter.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Okay, sure.
The Mutual UFO Network. We have a local MUFON chapter, evidently, and it's in this...
It's in a furniture repair shop.
Upholstery,
it's,
yeah.
It's in an upholstery called Markhart Upholstery up on Cass Avenue in Mount Clemens.
Yeah.
The problem is the place is absolutely never open.
Yeah, I'd beat the door down there one day and nobody would come and nobody answered the door at all.
Well, I drive around for my job and I pass it on quite a few occasions, and I've actually stopped when I've had like 15 minutes to kill just to go in there and just to say hi and say, I want to learn more about what you do, and yeah, I can't get in.
Maybe you guys should. You guys should stop showing up in the black limousines and black helicopter, though. That really makes the MUFON people paranoid.
Hey, pimping ain't easy, man. What do you want us to do?
So that's what bugs me about you folks, is I would like to pop in there one day if they were ever open, and say, hi, I'm Doug, I do this radio show, and I know it's, you know, only peripherally related, but, you know, I'd like to go on a UFO stakeout or whatever you do, and or learn about what you do, and I'd like to know who you are and maybe attend a meeting, and
we can't hear it. We can't get anything from these people at that location, at least.
Well,
I hear the hazing ritual of anal probes is really tough, though, to get in a MUFON.
Yeah.
Could be part. That could be either. Well, depends on what you were doing before, though.
God, it's Saturday already. Man.
This week at the Sugar Shack, MUFON. Well, yeah, if you guys want, once you kick it around, we're going to look at maybe trying to get out there in around July or August when the weather's nice. We're going to get, good, dark, clear skies and get out there and actually hopefully see some UFO activity. He's got some EVPs. You can check out his website. I believe it's ECETI.com. And his name is James Gilliland. He'd make a great guest for your show as well. He's a really nice guy. And for people that are interested and didn't catch his show, you can actually check him out on our archives by going to darknessradio.com, checking the listen tab, and then scroll down until you find James Gilliland. Click on that. You can download the show and listen to it anytime. Now, how about you guys? Now, where can they hear your show? How can people tune in to you guys? Where are you making yourself available?
Primarily through the internet.
That's how it was started, the original way.
It started on the internet, and it remains on the internet. So you go to our website, www.ghostlytalk.com, and it can stream down from there. Or if you happen to be in one of the communities that run the show,
that's for live broadcast,
For live broadcasts on Sunday nights. There's some communities run the show, but it's all picked up off the OmniSound feed. So any place that picks up the OmniSound feed will get us.
Yeah.
Can people download you at iTunes? Can they pick you up anywhere else like that?
No, podcasting also.
Yep, the podcast is available through iTunes or directly from the site. And we have a huge archive. Gallery.
Yeah, you can download any of our archives all the way back to like February of 2002 for free, still to this day.
All completely free. It's published under the Open Content License. That means burn it and share it.
Yeah, we endorse that.
Yeah, that's the way we are. A lot of people are like, can we use part of your show? Use it all, man. We're trying to get heard. Go ahead and use it all.
right.
So, and people can find you on MySpace as well. Is that right?
Yeah, it's myspace.com/ghostlytalk.
Okay, so there's a way to connect with you there. There's a way to connect with you on your website.
That link's on our website also, on our links page. There's the link to the MySpace page and our MyParaSpace page, too.
Okay, and then tell them all about, what nights are your shows played live, and how quickly do you have it on the website for download afterward?
Oh, man, I think we have the record for as far as archiving. We broadcast from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday nights. And once the show is finished, the archive is usually up within an hour and a half to 2 hours after the show has been broadcast. That's the archive on the website. The podcast archive, I believe that updates at 3 a.m. on the day after.
Right.
So
it's
Monday.
Up there. It just depends on when iTunes runs their crawler.
Yeah, but that's usually up the next day. You can depend on having the podcast archive up there. So if you want to suck it down into your iPod or wherever, it'll be up there for sure the day after. But that's usually, we broadcast live on Sundays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, we got about 3 minutes left in the show with you guys. Now, is there anything else coming up you want to talk about, promote? Are you guys going to be making it out to any conferences, anything else going on?
Oh, yeah.
The CPRI, First Annual Paranormal Conference.
that's going on. It was at Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, Richmond, Virginia on May, what, 13th and 14th?
May 13th and 14th. That's going to be with our friends from Ghost Hunters, our friends and your friends from Ghost Hunters, Jay and Grant. John Zaffis will be there. The mighty John Zaffis will be there, I should say. Mark Nesbitt from Ghost of Gettysburg is going to be there. A bunch of people speaking. It's going to be a really great weekend for everybody, I think.
And what's really, really scary is we follow Jay and Grant in the speaker schedule.
Yeah, we've been really weirded out about that. We have to go after those guys.
We're headlining.
Yeah, we're headlining. They're opening for us.
Yeah, oh, that's great. You better bring lots of free stuff to give away then. That's all I got to say. Win them over quick. Well, cool. Do you guys, will you be showing like photographs and EVPs and other things that you've been able to collect throughout your career on the show and doing your own paranormal investigations at these conferences or what?
That's a really good idea, you know.
Wow. You could put together a PowerPoint presentation of your runoff.
I got to write that down.
That's a really good idea. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for that.
We were just going to stand up there and talk for an hour and, you know,
We've spoken before at several things. The Michigan picnic, right? The Michigan Paranormal picnic.
Yeah.
We've spoken at several different things. Mothman Festival 2 years in a row. But what we usually do is I think we run our speeches or our presentations a little differently than everybody else on the planet. We run it similar to the radio show itself.
Yeah.
That means I stand up there, we stand up there, we give a little bit of a intro of who we are and what we do and what we want to see happen in the paranormal field, and then we just simply point at people in the audience and
make fun of
question.
Them.
Yeah.
Hey, nice shirt, pal.
Well, that's what we do later on. But no, during the actual thing, we ask them questions. Who's your favorite paranormal personality?
Yeah.
And that usually gets people going. And then what's your favorite ghost story? What's your favorite? Yeah. I like.
Have you had a favorite scary movie?
Yeah. Have you had an experience before? Have you ever had a paranormal experience? Things like that. We like to get the people that we're speaking to involved in what we're doing.
Sure. So our presentations are extremely interactive, and it's really interesting because it works in some situations very, very well, and in others it kind
scares
of
them half to
scares
death.
Them to death. Yeah. Yeah. When we were at the picnic, for example, there was a table of people who nobody knew.
Okay.
But they were there. And I, of course, we opened it up. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I want to know about you. Have you ever seen a ghost? And that was it. All of a sudden, they were everybody's best friend because they just spilled the beans. They were like, oh, yeah, I had a ghost follow me for, you know, 10 years, and I lived with him, and then I was sad when he went away. And then the next person over had a story, and then the next person over had a story. And they took over the entire, what did we speak for, an hour and a half? It worked out really well for us.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And we learned a lot, and I like to learn from people.
Sure. Well, we love having you guys on the show with us. I hope you'll join us again here in the future, and I look forward to hopefully doing the UFO show with you guys.
Yeah, excellent.
You know, check out the Penn State Con, too. I think you guys would be great. I know that Tim and I will be out there checking that out, and that comes out in October.
Okay.
I can't thank you guys enough for joining us. We were just talking to the guys from Ghostly Talk Paranormal Radio Show. You can hear them every week at ghostlytalk.com. Make sure to check them out. That's Scott L., Doug, and Will. Guys, thanks a lot for joining us.